From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, Governor Rick Perry makes it clear where he stands on abortion.
My goal is to make abortion at any stage a thing of the past.
Right to life leaders cheer as stricter abortion laws are proposed, and pro-choice advocates brace themselves for the worst. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. On Tuesday, Governor Rick Perry announced he will push in the upcoming legislative session tougher anti-abortion bills, including a fetal pain law that would ban abortion after 20 weeks. Perry made the announcement at the Source for Women, a pregnancy crisis center in Houston.
In Texas, our legislature meets for only 140 days every other year. And we have a session starting in just a few weeks. And as supporters of life, we have an obligation to make sure that every one of those days counts when it comes to protecting the most vulnerable citizens that we have in this state. Over the last decade, we've done that. We banned the use of tax dollars for abortion procedures in Texas, and we stood strong in the face of the expected backlash from that decision, but we were consistently proclaiming the truth, Elizabeth, that protecting the rights of abortion providers and protecting women's health are not the same thing. As Cynthia shared with you, we have passed laws requiring both parental notification and parental consent for their daughter's abortion, ensuring that parents are involved, ready to provide much-needed guidance and advice at the most critical of moments. Last session we passed, and I am very proud to say that I had the privilege to sign a law that prohibits abortion without the mother first having a sonogram, because we believe that unborn children deserve the respect of recognition before their lives are tragically cut short. We made major steps in ensuring that those making the decision between life and death make the most informed, responsible decision possible. When there are 80,000 lives lost to abortion each year in our state, we know our work is a long way from being over. This session, I'm calling on the legislature to strengthen our ban on that procedure, prohibiting abortion at the point a baby can feel the pain of being killed. We have an obligation to end that type of cruelty. And now, to be clear, my goal and the goal of many of those joining me here today is to make abortion at any stage a thing of the past. While Roe versus Wade prevents us from taking that step, it does allow us, the states, to do some things to protect life if they can show there is a compelling state interest. And I don't think there is any issue that better fits the definition of compelling state interest than preventing the suffering of our state's unborn. We cannot and we will not idly stand by while the unborn are being put through this agony of having their lives ended. Using the adoption process and community support, we can ensure each and every child born has a loving home. That's our goal, and someday it will be a goal that we meet. In the meantime, I'm also calling for measures to ensure the safety of women undergoing these procedures. Abortion clinics should be held to the same standards as any other surgical facility in the state of Texas. And we also need to require any physician performing abortions to have admitting privileges at a hospital. From my perspective, this is about common sense. As any patient should have the expectation that facilities being used are up to standards, and that if there's an emergency situation, they can receive the care that they need. Again, the ideal world is a world without abortion. Until then, we're going to continue to pass laws to ensure abortions are as rare as possible under existing law.
That was Governor Rick Perry at a pregnancy crisis center in Houston. He was laying out his support for a battery of tougher restrictions on abortion that will go before the Texas lawmakers in the upcoming legislative session. With Perry was Elizabeth Graham, the director of Right to Life Texas, a state-based anti-abortion group.
The Preborn Pain Act is Texas Right to Life's main bill for the 2013 legislative session, and we are very excited that Governor Perry came to Houston to express his enthusiastic support for Texas Right to Life's main bill.
And tell me how you think this is going to impact people's abortion choices going forward if it becomes law.
Well, most abortions are done in the first trimester, and that's very regrettable. And the medical science and peer-reviewed journal articles have confirmed that preborn children do feel pain at various stages, and 20 weeks is indisputable. And so the state will establish an interest in protecting preborn children who can feel pain, and that at 20 weeks, abortion will then not be allowed in our state.
So you think this will be restrictive? And I have seen some dispute about that 20 weeks, but, you know, that's what y'all are going with. But y'all think this is going to make it have fewer abortions in Texas because of this legislation?
Yes.
And you're coming from a very spiritual place that you would like to see all abortions eliminated in Texas, right?
You're putting words into my mouth.
No, I'm asking you. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just
okay. Just
trying to clarify so people know where you're coming from. And you're
no, I'm coming from a women's health perspective, and that women should have all of the information before they make abortion decisions. And those decisions involve knowing that a preborn child can feel pain at 20 weeks.
Okay, so this will, people understand your perspective. You are a right to life individual, correct?
Correct.
And so you feel that all abortion is a sin.
I did not say that.
I know. I'm asking you. I'm not projecting onto you. I'm just trying to figure out where you're coming from.
I work for Texas Right to Life, and we're the pro-life headquarters for the state. And we want to empower women to continue their pregnancies to term and to give them lots of options and connect them with resources so that they don't feel abortion is an option for them. And that's my perspective.
In this new legislation, how is it enforced? How does this become, when it becomes law, what happens if someone who's beyond 20 weeks and they have an abortion? What happens next?
Well, that would be an abortion doctor's violation. If he did, in fact, break the law, then that would be up to the state to decide what are the appropriate penalties for an abortion doctor breaking a law that legislators have put into place.
So the doctor would be held accountable and the woman would not be?
Of course. That is correct.
So she's not breaking the law?
No, sir.
And this, and then the doctor would he go to jail?
Legislative counsel is the body of attorneys who work for the state legislature, and legislative counsel writes bills that legislators want to pursue. Our bill has not emerged from legislative counsel yet, meaning that this body of attorneys is still working on the draft. And they are the ones entrusted with deciding or looking at, not deciding, legislative counsel is the body that decides what are the appropriate penalties according to what's already in law for similar type of infractions elsewhere. And so they would know best what the penalties would be or the repercussions for breaking a law. And so the bill hasn't come out from legislative counsel, so I wouldn't be able to talk about what penalties are appropriate or what will be in the bill.
Okay, so y'all haven't figured that out yet.
Right.
And I know that Rick Perry believes that there is no exceptions for rape and incest, and that would be part of this law as well.
That any, if a woman decided to have an abortion because her child was conceived through rape or incest, that decision would have to be made before the 20-week mark.
And if she did after the 20-week mark, she wouldn't face any sort of penalty?
She would not face any sort of penalties, but the doctor would then be prohibited from doing an abortion at that point.
What do you think about the chances of this getting through the legislature and getting to Rick Perry's desk? Are you pretty confident that this is not going to face any hurdles?
Well, David, as you know, being a political reporter, there are hurdles that are always unforeseen, and some are foreseen, but there are always unforeseen hurdles. And the majority of House members and state Senate members are very pro-life and are excited to support this bill. What is unknown are the political dynamics once the session starts. If tensions are high, if there's a lot of camaraderie, if people are willing to let each other's bills pass, but majority of Texans are pro-life, and they vote pro-life, as exemplified in Governor Perry's continued re-election, successful re-election efforts. And so our pro-life citizens across the state are expecting their elected officials to enact policies on which they campaigned, but also to enact policies that reflect the voters' values. And so the bills, the pro-life bills, should have broad support and should pass without a lot of opposition.
I'm just looking at the last legislative session. We saw that the sonogram bill passed. I mean, there was some attempts to derail it, but it passed.
And there were many attempts to derail the sonogram bill, but yes, because of the hands-on leadership of Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst and Governor Perry, combined with lobbying efforts by Texas Right to Life, the bill was able, and of course the votes by legislators and the bill sponsors, they were able to pass a very strong sonogram law.
And you didn't mention Joe Strauss, the speaker. Did he not help?
The legislature as a body was able to pass a very strong sonogram bill. The bill did pass out of both chambers.
Okay. Well, no love for Joe Strauss.
I did not say that.
Okay. All right. Well, then thank you so much. Elizabeth Graham is the director of Right to Life Texas. She is advising and supporting Governor Perry as he pushes for tougher abortion laws for the state. Texas supporters for women's health rights are reacting to Perry's announcement, saying it's a step backwards for Texas, and they're pledging to fight the bills in the legislature and the courts. But they acknowledge it's going to be a tough battle against even tougher odds. Jeffrey Hans is the president of Planned Parenthood of South Texas. He says the last legislative session was a bad one for women's health rights, and this one is looking to be even worse.
In some ways, it's like the second punch, because when you look back to the last legislative session, that's when Perry and his friends pulled out everything they had to decimate family planning financing in Texas, which is what prevents the need for abortion care. So last time, they destroy family planning support, and now this time, they're going after abortion care itself. So what they did 2 years ago made it more likely that women in Texas will need an abortion, and what they're going to do now will make it less likely that those women can get an abortion.
They're talking about stricter rules for clinics, and also this 20-week cannot get abortion because of fetal pain, and also making doctors, they have to have hospital privileges at a nearby hospital. How does that impact?
Two things, Dave. I mean, first, no one has actually seen the legislation. To my knowledge, nothing is filed. Like, I don't have any, filed bills that I've been able to see or read. I mean, Perry made his statement kind of from his bully pulpit in Houston along with Senator-elect Donna Campbell. But I haven't exactly seen the legislation. I mean, I've heard the same things you've had, that, he wants to ban abortion, all abortion after 20 weeks, and he has these requirements for physicians and their admitting privileges, and that facilities that provide abortion should be like ambulatory surgical centers. And so We'll all have to watch and see what the legislation itself looks like. But there's already, you know, just huge problems with what he's suggesting that I think should be a concern for all Texas women, but just for all Texans should be thinking about this, because as we know, and this we've seen this time and time again, laws that make it harder to get an abortion, all they do is damage women's health. And so, like, when I look at the things he's proposing, one of the things he talked about is requiring that physicians who perform abortions need to have admitting privileges at a hospital. Well, you know, I look at our operation based here in San Antonio where, you know, just to be clear, you know, less than 5% of what we're doing is providing abortion care. But our physicians do have admitting privileges to hospitals, so that's, you know, that's just not really an issue. And so you might think, well, that's not a big deal then. Why would we be concerned? I'm thinking about how there are just fewer and fewer and fewer counties in America, but particularly in Texas's 254 counties, where you can even get an abortion. So let's say that some clinic in a much less populated place than San Antonio. I mean, let's look at places like, you know, Corpus, Laredo, Midland. So what a clinic there, let's say, does, a different physician they know from Houston travels to town, provides abortion care on one day a month. Well, let's say that that doctor has not established admitting privileges at the local hospital because that doctor actually doesn't have a practice in that town. Well, what this is going to do, it's going to make it less and less likely that you can get an abortion anywhere in Texas other than large urban centers.
Now, they say with the 20-week fetus rule, well, first of all, they say that that's when a fetus can feel pain. Is that true?
The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, as well as the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and many other highly respected medical institutions do not agree with the assertion Mr. Perry made.
So only about, from what I'm reading, about one-half of 1% of abortions in Texas take place after 20 weeks. And those few that do take place are because of medical emergencies. So this new rule would not apply to them. So people are saying that actually this fetal pain law would not have that big of an impact.
And, you know, and what you've said and how you've strung that together, I mean, I follow that, and that is essentially true. But what I'm afraid is going to happen is that then people will say, well, then I guess we don't need to oppose this encroachment on a woman's right to choose. And where I would ask Texans to think differently is if we already have licensed physicians providing medical care, and if they provide it badly, they risk their license, and then that is the structure through which we provide medicine in Texas, then this legislation becomes unnecessary. And the only reason we're doing it then, or the only reason Mr. Perry is doing it, the governor is creating as many political opportunities to gather attention around the issue of abortion because he believes, in my opinion, it electrifies his base. It helps him recover from a poor showing in a presidential candidacy recently, and it gains media attention.
Jeffrey Hans is the president of Planned Parenthood of South Texas. Earlier, we heard from Governor Rick Perry announcing his plans to eliminate abortion in Texas. He was speaking at a pregnancy crisis center in Houston. But what is a pregnancy crisis center? Freelance reporter Carolyn Jones investigates how these anti-abortion facilities are funded with state dollars. Her article is in the current issue of the Texas Observer.
They're either called crisis pregnancy centers or pregnancy resource centers. And what they will appear to be to many women is a place where they can go and receive counseling about their options when they find themselves with an unplanned pregnancy. However, what the women may not be aware is that they're not being given all of their options, or certainly their options aren't being given equal weight. So at the crisis pregnancy centers, they will... The raison d'etre of the crisis pregnancy centers is to convince women with unplanned pregnancies to choose childbirth over abortion. Many of these centers offer free pregnancy tests. Some of them offer free sonograms as well. The sonograms are not provided for medical purposes, though. They're there primarily, well, in fact, entirely to convince women to stay pregnant. They, the crisis pregnancy centers, many of them also offer free clothing, furniture, diapers, car seats, or they'll give the women mommy dollars with which to buy these things in exchange for going to one of the life skill classes. But these crisis pregnancy centers have a religious affiliation. They're driven by a conservative religious ideology, which is anti-abortion, and that is not always obvious to the women who are walking into these centers. So as I'd said earlier, they don't give equal weight to the choices that a woman might have when she finds herself unexpectedly pregnant. The three choices are to keep the child, so to parent, to give the child for adoption, or to have an abortion. But these centers promote parenting and adoption as the only viable choices. And when it comes to speaking about abortion, they will give very sort of graphic descriptions to the woman about what the abortion procedure entails. They'll also warn them about the psychological effects of abortion. So, for example, thoughts of suicide, say that their chances of infertility and breast cancer will increase after having an abortion.
Well, these things are not true.
That's right. The link between abortion and infertility or breast cancer have been discredited by many studies.
So, of course, we have a population, sizable population in Texas of people who don't like abortion. So they create these other facilities. They'll be right next door to an abortion clinic. They're not breaking any laws. There's nothing wrong with that. But what you write about is that state dollars are going into these religious clinics, right?
That's right. That's right. Since 2005, $26.3 million worth of state funds have gone towards these crisis pregnancy centers in Texas. They've used that money to give information to 72,000 women. As each legislative session goes by, more money is funneled towards these centers. And what I write about in the article is this money is coming from the state budget for family planning clinics, so the very clinics that are out there to provide family planning advice as well as well women in preventive care and cancer screenings. Primarily services that are there to prevent pregnancy have now been rerouted. Some of that money has now been rerouted towards centers that are there to prevent abortion.
So these are places that would normally provide contraception. Now that's gone.
The money has been vastly reduced. In the last legislative session, the state family planning budget was slashed by two-thirds. And as we looked at, the Texas Observer covered this earlier on this year, that's caused more than 60 family planning clinics across Texas to close. So whilst this is happening, 60 clinics have closed, 50 crisis pregnancy centers and pro-life maternity homes are receiving money from the state, the same money that had been taken from the family planning centers.
Because of the reduction in family planning and contraception care that these women's centers provided, that we're seeing an increase in pregnancies. Is that right?
Right. Well, I think that's certainly the expectation of many of the public health specialists.
And that's going to cost the state more.
Right, that's right. That'll either cause more unwanted pregnancies, more costs to Medicaid, or indeed will cause more abortions, which is what the legislature is trying to prevent by sort of funneling money towards the abortion alternatives industry. I think the other thing, Dave, that is quite concerning about this is just in terms of the value for money that the taxpayer is getting. At the moment, the average cost per client of someone who's been using state dollars to go to a crisis pregnant center is $237 per client. By contrast, a client going to a family planning clinic was costing the state about $160. And there's also, you know, the client going to, for example, a Planned Parenthood clinic that provided family planning services, they're providing much more than just free pregnancy tests. They were also providing well women services, pap smears, breast exams, etc. So as I look at in my article, it doesn't seem to be a good investment of public funds to be using more money to provide fewer services.
Carolyn Jones is a freelance reporter, and she has written an article looking into the funding and operations of the anti-abortion facilities known as pregnancy crisis centers. The article is in the current issue of the Texas Observer, and it's online at texasobserver.org. CPRIT. It's the Cancer Prevention and Research Institute of Texas. More than that, CPRIT is a $3 billion bucket of cash that Texans voted for to fund cancer research in the state. But who decides who gets the money? And how do we know it's not just another political slush fund that somehow is making its way to Governor McPerry's cronies? Well, it looks like there's been some CPRIT slushing. Nobel Prize-winning scientists connected to CPRIT have resigned in disgust, and corruption investigations have been opened to find out how crooked things have gotten at CPRIT. Andrew Wheat is calling for even more openness with CPRIT. He is the research director for Texans for Public Justice.
Voters back in 2007 agreed to put up Texas state bonds to the tune of $3 billion over 10 years to help search for cures for cancer. And when you put a bucket of $3 billion on the table for grants, a lot of people are going to want a piece of it. And some of the people seeking that money are probably eminently qualified to get it based on the merits of their proposals. But others also will seek to get some of that money. And, of course, in Texas, we have a history of problems with the government handing out public funds to private entities. There have been a number of scandals surrounding, you know, Governor Perry's jobs fund, the Texas Enterprise Fund, and a sister fund that's kind of a venture capital fund, the Emerging Tech Fund. They have doled out money to people who seem to specialize in developing political connections with our top state leaders. So the idea when they came along with a Cancer Prevention and Research Institute was that this one was going to be different, that the proposals would be vetted by scientists, including scientists out of state, and that the grants would be made on the basis of merit and not political connections, cronyism. And what is the picture that's gradually emerging is that there are problems with how we were promised the funds would be doled out and how they have been doled out in practice. The most recent revelation has been that one biotech company called Peloton Therapeutics got an $11 million grant in 2010 that never went through any kind of scientific review, and that one of the significant investors in Peloton is a retired banker, Mr. O'Donnell out of Dallas, who has given hundreds of thousands of dollars to the governor and the lieutenant governor of this state. The Attorney General of Texas to investigate what happened with that grant and those emails, as well as the Travis County District Attorney's Office is looking at it, and ourselves and others have asked the U.S. Attorney's Office to take a look at it.
Andrew Wheat is the research director for Texans for Public Justice. He's been calling for greater transparency with CPRIT, the Cancer Prevention and Research Institute of Texas, a $3 billion fund that's being investigated for corruption and inappropriate political influence. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can email me with your comments and questions to texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past Texas Matters programs on our website at tpr.org. You can also find us on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.